December is right in the heart of the holidays, and for many, it marks a season of end-of-year giving. So how does one know the best way to give? What is truly meaningful and supportive for families? Is our presence really enough of a present? Welcome to WonderCast, a collaborative community podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness. Today, I am joined by Lauren Wyattrick, Austin area mom, local writer, and editor for Austin Moms, Wonders and Worries client, living with stage 4 recurrent metastatic breast cancer, and one of the elected families for this year's Making Spirits Bright holiday giving. Today, she joins us to share about balancing her seasons of giving and receiving and provides valuable insight on supporting families enduring long journeys of chronic illness. This is Lauren.
Hi, I'm Lauren Wyattrick and excited to be here. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2017 and it was stage 3C. I was 32 years old and I was still nursing my second daughter. And so we had no idea that that was coming. We didn't even think that that was possible to, because I remember hearing like, if you breastfeed, then it's a chance you won't get breast cancer. And never in my mind did I ever think it could be breast cancer. I had thought I had a clogged milk duct because I couldn't nurse on one side. And that's all I thought it was. And then later we found out there was actually a tumor blocking the milk. So it was blocking, it was right behind my nipple. And that's why we couldn't nurse. And everything started moving really, really fast. So I'm sure many can resonate with that feeling of just feeling like you're standing still and the world is just spinning around you and you can't quite figure out how to make it stop. And I underwent every treatment possible that year. So the really, really harsh one, I don't even like saying the name, but the really horrible red one. And so all summer long, I did chemo treatments. And then I had a unilateral mastectomy. And then I had radiation for a month. And then we did another oral chemo, hoping to prevent it from coming back. And then that following year, I had my deep flap contraction surgery. And then we thought we were in the clear. And then 2020 happened. And 2020, I think, changed a lot of things for a lot of people, especially in the cancer world. And so something started coming back, but I couldn't get in and had a telehealth appointment. And it was just a little chaotic. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. And that also became even more chaotic because of COVID and people not believing me. So that was really hard mentally and physically. And finally, we went to a ER and found that I had a collapsed lung and I had a pleural effusion. And when you look up a pleural effusion, one of the top things is that breast cancer can cause it, which we had no idea that was, again, that was even something that could happen. And so quickly, my oncologist got me in the hospital. We had drained my lung. It was a whole crazy fiasco. As if anyone has gone through surgery and hospital stays, it just can be really nutty and scary. You just have, you know, don't know what's going on. But we finally figured out how we got it settled, but it had moved to metastatic. So 2021, almost 4 years exactly after my original diagnosis, everything moved to metastatic. And so we got on another medicine, was okay for about a year. And then my cancer started resurging this past month. And so we had to change our plan to a new medicine. And now we're just trying to figure things out as we go. My daughters, when I was diagnosed, were 3 and 1, and now they're 6 and 8. So that's all they've ever known, which is kind of a weird and wild thing to raise your kiddos that cancer is normal in our house. So I'm sure some other moms might resonate with that too, that when they're playing, sometimes they play cancer and their friends look at them like, what are you talking about? And other people are like alarmed looks on their faces. And it's just like, well, that word is normal in our house. With everything, I started thinking about and praying about just like what would bring a little sparks of joy into my life. And I've wanted land for a long time, but it's hard to find, especially with everything happening for real estate. So my husband said, well, what would you like? And I said, chickens. And he said, all right, let's go get some. So 2 years ago, our daughters opened up a present with 4 baby chicks inside on Christmas morning. And ever since then, we've added 6 more. We have 10 chickens in our little suburban homestead. And I'm trying to learn how to garden, but it's really hard. I think I have 1 yellow tomato growing in the backyard right now.
Which is impressive.
Thanks. It will be a tasty tomato.
Those squirrels are vicious.
And we homeschool. I'm homeschooling mommy, and I just felt like that was a way for me to spend as much time with him as possible, because I just don't know, you know, what the future holds. So I want to be with him as much as possible. So we've just created a little cozy life, tending like we live on land in the middle of suburbia. So that's a little bit about me and my story. My faith is a huge, huge part of my story too. That's what keeps me going in our beautiful community.
I think one of the things that you and I've talked a lot about is how chronic illness is unique, and that it far outlasts the typical standard recovery season that you see when you have a hip replacement surgery or the flu, or maybe even, I don't know, like you've back surgery, or you have this season where you just are injured and you're recovering. Even when you have autoimmune illness, you might go into remission for a season or for a little bit, but then you're going to have flare-ups more than likely. And so for our families that are on here with rheumatoid arthritis or ongoing autoimmune diseases that also are supported through Wonders and Worries, they too understand just the exhaustion that comes with chronic illness and feeling like you're having to continually face this as you grow and as your family grows. I think you hit it beautifully that this has grown up with your children and this has been a part of their life from the very beginning. I think that that's something that's hard to explain to somebody that maybe doesn't have that experience or have been touched by illness in that way, chronic illness in that way. How are you able to maintain living with hope and living with illness and being the support of recipient of support kind of simultaneously? That's kind of a hard balance, I would seem like. Mm-hmm. Juggling all of that kind of feels delicate. And do you feel like, you said sparks of joy, mm-hmm, is something that helps you, and your faith obviously, mm-hmm, is something that really gives you that spiritual strength. What are other things that you have found to kind of give you that balance to be able to maintain hope, but acknowledge this is my story. This is not going away.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the big things to do is give yourself grace. And I mean, sometimes you really, truly just have to focus on a minute at a time and nothing more than that, because more than that, I think for cancer patients, gets super overwhelming, even more than looking out farther than a day or a week. It just is like, especially when you're in the thick of treatment, it's just too much. So giving yourself the ability and the freedom to just, I am just going to take it minute by minute, hour by hour, I think that really, really helps just put things into perspective. And then just, I think for, you know, one of the hard things too, I feel like with cancer patients is you, with all the medicine, you're dealing with so much stuff, so much brain fog, it's hard to think, it's hard to, so accepting help, you know, just realizing that people helping is a blessing. They want to bless you, and just allowing that. I think that's one of the biggest detriments for cancer patients is allowing help. I know so many who just, they don't speak up. And I think it's really, really important, because you're not expected to do this alone in any way, shape, or form.
I think that one of the things that I hear from a lot of our families is that if you take on the help, it's your way of saying that you are losing hope. And I think that's an important message to share with families, that you have the permission to be able to have people help you. And that does not mean in any way that you are giving up your fight.
Not at all.
Yeah, and that people are helping you because they want to walk this journey with you. They want to be alongside as you continue to fight. They think that you are doing such strong work that they want to be able to help as well.
Absolutely. I think that it's easy to, I think we just have this natural inclination in our human form to feel like anytime we accept help that we're like giving up something, or we feel guilty, or, you know, however we process that. And it's such a lie. It, like I said before, it's blessing. So I think when through life and the ebbs and flows of life, we are either in a season where we can give and or we're in a season to receive. And I think that is a good thing, because think about when we love to give. Well, we have to give, who are we giving to, right? So it's the same thing, flip it on the other side. It's the same way, right? So you're giving people, you're allowing people in to your journey. You're allowing people to support you, and it's a blessing for them to give. I mean, I've been told that over and over again, that when people have, you know, brought us a meal or help with the girls or whatever it might be, it's a blessing for them to help. And so I think that's just something that we all as cancer patients just have to work on that in our journey and work on that in our mental space to just accept that help and how good it feels to be supported by a community rather than feeling like you have this burden of holding this all on our own. We're not expected to do this all on our own.
The reason I loved to have you on particularly right now is because the holidays is a great time to give to families in need, particularly families in your communities that might be facing chronic illness, be that diabetes or heart disease or lung disease, ALS or cancer. Looking for them in your community might be a very easy thing to find, or for other people, it might be more difficult. So I suggest you reach out to your kids' school counselors could be a great resource, or your church leaders, maybe coaches for teams that your kids play on. If you're looking for families to support, because there's a good chance that they will know other kids who have parents that might be facing similar illnesses, and kind of thought that maybe you and I could talk about things that are really supportive for families that are facing chronic illness. I know that we all have the best intentions to give things that are supportive for us, but I think hearing firsthand from families that are really going through it, it might give a better idea of the kind of things that are really supportive and help people know where to go to look.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was initially diagnosed and that summer was really, really hard. I still had a baby in diapers. So someone dropping off diapers was super helpful, and they didn't have to do anything other than literally put them on our porch. So I think getting to know your families, wherever you're finding them from, the Breast Cancer Resource Center is also another great place for finding families. They always have families that need to be supported. And then you have a little bit more of specifics on their needs. But I mean, grocery gift cards, HEB gift cards are so helpful. Gas gift cards are so helpful, because most of these families are just pouring their money into medical bills. But a lot of these other things they're hard, and they have trying to scrounge up, you know, all their money and trying to figure out budgeting. And I don't care what family you come from or what your financial situation is, cancer can put anyone to bankruptcy, regardless of their financial situation, because it's just really hard. Some of these medications cost, oh my gosh, mine last one that was on was like $3,000 a week for this medication.
That's so much.
It's astronomical, and no one's expected to handle that on their own. That's way too much. And so just really finding the needs that people, you have to make sure that when you're doing this is that you're doing it for them, right? You're not necessarily doing it for you, you're doing it for them. So you have to find out what's really going to be a blessing for them. And food is always a blessing, and specific things like gas is always going to be a blessing. Really tangible things like that are always going to be helpful for people when they're going through these, you know, these chronic illness journeys that just never go away.
And then we talk about other things like maybe things like service, partnering with other families or other people in your community, house cleaning services, lawn care services, if it's that time of year for wherever you live. We talked about even, you know, things like going and picking up the groceries. Like maybe the groceries have been ordered online and it's curbside. You can go pick them up and have them delivered, or pay for a delivery service to deliver the groceries. Things like those can be so helpful when maybe the side effects of a chemo is lethargy, or your hands hurt, or your feet hurt, or vertigo, or there are a million different things that can happen that can make movement and mobility very difficult. And so just anything that can help ease that. Another thing I look at as a parent that we've heard from so many of our families is opportunities for your kids to just have fun. And I feel maybe more so now that your kids are older. I think when they were younger, it was more meeting their basic needs, right? Somebody there to help with, you know, putting them down for a nap or babysitting them so you could get a nap and get some rest and some downtime. But now it's helping them do this really fun camp that's great for sports that they love to play. Or, you know, there's this really incredible equine therapy that they can do. Let them go try that. Or there's this incredible Girl Scout camp that they want to do for a week. Let's let them try that. Or go on a play date with a friend. I think there's a lot of different ways you can love on a family that don't have to be expensive, that can be so meaningful.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. One of the things we always said was we didn't want my health battle to affect my kiddos' childhood. And, you know, it's hard, right? I mean, it's going to affect it, but we don't want to eliminate all the fun things that you know, kids can do, just like you're mentioning, like being able to go to volleyball camp or horse camp or art camp, or, you know, there's so many different fun things to do for kiddos and with families who are battling, you know, all these different chronic illnesses and medicine and medical bills piling up. It's hard to find margin for that. So those kinds of gifts are such a blessing. We often say that we would rather have experience and memories together than stuff, because those are the things that we're really focused on now. So those are the gifts that to us just are so incredible, because that's what we want now. So just make memories together and experiences. And there's so many fun things to do in the holidays.
You know, there are so many.
Some of those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for Austin, like going to Mozart's, you know, with your kiddos, like that's such a fun little thing to do. And there's so many fun opportunities like that. So being able to give families those opportunities is, that's such a blessing.
I agree. And a lot of it is outside. So if you're worried about being immunosuppressed or about germs or about being inside, there are so many open air outdoor events in the holidays, which I think is incredible too. I think giving now is a great time to be able to go do that, because there are a lot of walk through Christmas lights, go look at holiday, you know, outdoor everything. There's so many. There's, I feel like
there's that drive through one. Isn't that drive through one going south, like in between Austin and San Antonio? I think Santa's Ranch or something. You can drive through.
That's so right.
That's an even, you know, if you need to be, you know, in isolating your car, it's a easy way to hop in your car and drive through there. That's a fun thing to do.
There's one over by College Station that's supposed to be incredible. Santa's World or Santa's Wonderland, or I don't know. They're all so amazing.
That's so fun.
I know.
They're all fun.
One of the things that one of my parents shared with me is, and we talked about it last podcast with the teenagers, how much they just really struggle with people saying, how are you? And what a overwhelming question that is, and how that actually, that question fills them with anxiety. And instead of saying, how are you, look for opportunities to maybe serve somebody or gift somebody something. And then when you're in that moment with them, you will be able to see firsthand how they are. Mm-hmm. And then you won't even have to ask, because you'll know. Or in that moment, it's a little bit less overwhelming to say, how are you? So one of the things that a mom once told me is she wished that less people said, how are you? And more people said, I would love to bring your family dinner this week. What night is good for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or instead of saying, what do you need? Say, I would love to come and decorate your porch for Christmas. What is a great day for me to come this week?
And then
just tell them, and then let them do it. And I think I think that's hard, because you're giving up a lot of control, but you are also letting somebody love on you and take care of you. And they are, you don't have to think of what to do, because I think that brain fog you referenced is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wrote a whole blog post about this.
Yeah, you did?
I wrote a whole blog post about asking questions, because that was how I felt, was so many people had asked, how are you? And I'm like, oof, we have to get better at asking better questions, because it is so overwhelming. Like, how do you think I am? I'm dealing with cancer. Like, I'm not great.
You know? Not well.
So we need to do better questions. So I did write a whole blog post about this. Like, what are some, and I even like put out, like, what are some good questions? Like a good question would be, how is your day today? You know, just like, let's take that big, big, big question and let's like, you know, funnel it down to like make it a little bit smaller and easier to answer. Or how was your morning? Or, you know, there's just different questions we can ask instead of it being so huge. How are your kids? You know, how is your caregivers forgotten a lot? Like we caregivers need more. So how is your husband? How is your mom? You know, maybe those are questions, just kind of make it a little bit smaller. And then, yes, I love that. Like, that was the other thing I kind of referenced to in my blog post, was don't just say, I'm praying for you, and then not do nothing. Or don't just say, like, I want to help. Like, actually do it. And I think one of the biggest things for cancer patients in the cancer world is just showing up. Just show up. Being present is the biggest gift you can give anyone who's going through this, especially chronic, because it's never ending. This is a marathon that is likely in our entire life. And so it often makes us think people are going to forget about us and fall away, because they're going to move on and we don't get to move on. We don't get to like do that and be like, you know, some people they give and they're like, oh, I'm glad I did that. And then they move on. We don't get to move on. We're always going to be in this battle, in this journey. So being able to show up for people, which might be dropping off a pack of diapers or dropping off a pack of toilet paper or a coffee on the front porch. Sometimes cancer patients want to be listened to. So just sitting and be able to just let them talk and whatever they need to say, you know.
You told me once one of our friends from our church just came over and helped put one of the little kids down that you were caring for, and then just folded your laundry and visited with you.
It was the most incredible gift that the look in my eyes when she answered, everyone was falling sick and my eyes were just like so overwhelmed. And so for someone to come in like that, and she picked up my groceries at curbside, she swooped the baby out of my hands, went and put the baby down, folded the laundry, literally just swooped around the house. She said, give me one big task that you need accomplished. And I did. And I said, living room. And she cleaned it all up. And so that was such an amazing gift. That would be so great for, that is a good thing for other people to think of, like, how can I help people? That's a great way to help people.
To show up and show up and love on them. And also looking for little ways to surprise people. I think that one of the things that I hear so much from so many people is this feeling of the lies we tell ourselves and the way that the guilt really kind of sneaks in, especially if you are a giver by nature and you thrive living in that season of giving and you are in a current season of receiving, how difficult that can be for your spirit sometimes, because you're having to be appreciative, which you are so appreciative and grateful, but then also balance with that inability right now to give to others in the way that you are receiving. And that comes with that feeling of almost sadness. It's grief. It's a different form of grief. You're grieving for a life that you used to live that you don't get to live right now. And I think they're validating that and understanding that and being honest with that with yourself is okay. And I think it's important for families to know that they're not alone in feeling that way. I know you felt that way. You've shared that you felt that way.
We're not alone. There's so many people, no matter who you are, where you are, or what your situation is, how many people live in your home, there are so many people that want to help you. They do. And we have this lie that says that we're all alone and that no one's there. And that's just not true. And we have to keep reminding ourselves that over and over. I know I have to do that to myself. Because I know it's not true, but for whatever reason, there's just this little...
I have to do that, and I don't have a chronic illness like that. I know. And just sometimes, even the littlest pick-me-up, like pumpkins on your porch, or a special drink, or, you know, even just someone sending you a love message, or an email, or a text message to say, hey, I'm thinking, or I saw this sunset, and I thought of you. That can lift your spirit so much to be like, wow, not only was I on their mind, but they thought to really just send it to me and like think of me. And that is putting action with feeling. And that's just so beautiful. It's an easy, effortless way to love on somebody.
Yes, I agree. There's so many fun, creative ways to love on people, regardless of what season. I love what you said about pumpkins. Like, I love that. Like, we had these beautiful people from our church put pumpkins in front of our yard, and it brought me so much joy coming to my home. And doing little things like that, like maybe you drive by and you see their lawn easy notes, you just show up and you mow their lawn without even saying anything. And then they walk out and it's just like somebody cared enough to see that there was something that needed to be done, and they just came and they took care of it. Or their lawn needed to be raked or whatever it is. Their trash can need to be carried back up. You know, maybe it's a neighbor. There's so many little ways like that that can just show that people are there and people love on you without making it a big production.
I will say, it helps sometimes to hear firsthand what this type of giving allows you as the person who is walking this journey of illness. What does this time allow for you to do?
So I know one of the things I struggle with is I love cooking and I love baking. But right now it's a hard season for me to do that with my hands hurting and my feet hurting from medicine. So accepting meals is kind of hard for me because I love being able to cook. But it's allowing me to rest. It's allowing me to focus on my health. It's allowing me to shift and focus on my kids and give them some more time, you know, and that I would be cooking, you know, instead. It's allowing me to I think one of the biggest ones is rest. I think, you know, when your body is battling something, we need more rest than normal. And so it's just giving us that ability to truly focus on what our body needs so that our body can do its job and the medicine can do its job.
And not feeling guilty about that. And it might be that this is not your season of making your favorite baking foods or your, you know, your traditional cookies that you make every year at the holidays, or maybe it is, and you just are talking through it the whole time and you're having your sous chefs do it and they don't do it as well, but they do it with love. And that might be the approach it is this year. And it will be gingerbread men with extra digits and maybe missing limbs. And it's special and lovely and different in its own way, but it just, it happens and it's part of the story. And it just is a sign that people are there to help you in the way that you're needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that through your cancer journey, there might be seasons where it's a little bit extra hard. And then there might be seasons where it's like, okay, I think I'm doing okay for this, you know, for a hot minute here. And so I remember the first year, 2017 Christmas, we had, I think it was a company sponsored our family, and I had no idea. And now we were absolutely blown away by what they brought. And it was really just the girls. So 3-in-1. We wanted them, or 3.5 and 1.5. And we wanted them to have a beautiful Christmas. And so I remember soaking that in and saying to myself, I want to do this for someone else one day when I'm able, I want to do this for someone else. And so that next year I was able to take Christmas gifts to another cancer patient who was going through what I was going through that year before. And I had that, you know, space to do that. And so I think it's good to remind ourselves, like, hey, you might have a season where you can give back to someone that, I mean, now that we know how hard this is, through cancer patients and chronic illness, like, you can bless another family one day, like down the road, like when you're in a season where you might be able to handle, you know, something like that. And that can be in all different ways, shapes and forms to be able to do that. But I think that really helped me being like, you know, I love this and I'm going to pay it forward and do this for somebody else.
And you'll be able to say, I'm here to support you. And I can say with certainty, when you give someone a hug and say, hey, I know how much this stinks, you really do. And you're not just some stranger coming in with presents. You're somebody coming in who gets it and knows. Yeah. And you not only are giving that gift in the future, you are someone who's also walked that road before too. And so I think that that's a double gift, right? Because you're also inspiration.
A ripple effect, and hopefully it'll keep going.
And so we encourage you to continue to clean out your closet and definitely purge all those stuffed animals, but maybe don't gift them to your nearest organization. First of all, go look at the websites and see what they really need. Mm-hmm. Go talk to the families and talk to the people who are coordinating their care, or if it's the Breast Cancer Resource Center, or if it's Wonders and Worries, or the START Center, or Texas Oncology, or Dell Children's Medical Center, anywhere in your local community, check the list to see what is needed. Because I guarantee you there are specific, unique needs that are so important for these families. And there is a great space somewhere for those beautiful stuffed animals or those toys that belong to your children, for sure. It just may not be at one of those organizations. So check first and then go love on some people, because this is the perfect season for it.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that.
Perfect. Anything else you want to share before I let you have your afternoon?
Oh my goodness. I think that Christmas is just a beautiful season for just giving and loving. And I think reevaluating too, you know, before the new year. And I think it's a great time to really just seek out those people that need help. And I think finding maybe a family, and maybe you kind of commit to helping them for a year. And it doesn't have to be big things for helping them for a year, but maybe like little things, like once a month doing something little and sweet for them, just to help them bring joy to their day. Because we have no, you know, as cancer patients, our days are a roller coaster, mentally and physically. And those little notes and just little acknowledgement of that we are here is, it speaks more than you could ever possibly imagine. This speaks such big volumes. And so I think that's just a cool thing to think about is, you know, how can we seek out and find those people who truly need help, and how can we bring them little bits of joy throughout their year? I think that would, and a huge part, I think, of this battle is our attitude And so having that positive attitude, which can help, right, being fostered by your community around you, it gives us so much more strength in our battle and in our journey.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.